Good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. I paid extra to get to talk first this morning. Just a quick announcement. I would like to invite each and every one of you to the social hall after church service. We have a reception for two different occasions, the occasion of Ryder and Alice's baptism, and also the occasion of Pastor's 20th anniversary of his ordination. So please join us after church for that.
My wife is being sneaky, apparently. I leave town for a week and she does something. We gather today to receive the gifts of the Lord, and one of those gifts today is the gift of baptism for Alice and for Ryder, and so we'll head into that rite as we end the opening hymn. So you'll see in your bulletin, it's on page 268 and following, your responses in bold there as we welcome them into the family of God. A couple of other things in our prayers today that we remember Mona Nore, a friend of the Kish family, who is battling liver cancer. So we pray for her today, along with those that we have been remembering. Again, there's a sign-up sheet on the table out in the narthex to the right for those who would like to provide some food or snacks for our seminary extension class. About 15 people we're planning on for that. So if you would like to love your neighbor in that way, the sheets are right there. And then I guess at some point in the midst of recepting those of us who are attending our Higher Things conference in Irvine, let's put our heads together for a minute. We've got a couple of travel things to figure out today, so we will look at that. Otherwise, the service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a text that we will get to explore more fully this fall in Bible class, St. Paul preaches what some have called a dangerous gospel. He says things like, "For freedom, Christ has set us free," and "A man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Christ." It's a gospel that's full of freedom and grace and love. There's no demand or law or obedience. You never hear St. Paul say, "Believe and obey," which is nothing but the law. Instead, he says, "Believe and love." He says that now that faith has come, the law no longer holds any requirement for you whatsoever, but rather, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And that's why some have called St. Paul's gospel dangerous. You can almost hear them. "You claim that people are free, Paul, but then you give them a license to sin. If the gospel refuses to make demands on people, well, then all hell's going to break loose." "Can't be, Paul. Your gospel must come with laws and regulations and obligations. Otherwise, the church is going to self-destruct." Well, St. Paul knows exactly how dangerous this gospel is that he preaches. He knows that men in their sin will twist and misinterpret and downright reject his inspired word from God the Father. But he can't change this transformational, logic-defying gospel simply because sinners will misuse it. This gospel has been given to him by our risen Lord Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So St. Paul insists today, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." But, there's always a but, right? You must clearly understand what it means to live in that freedom. And that's why St. Paul goes on to say, "You were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." Christians are not bound by demanding laws like "believe and obey." But still, they don't indulge in the desires of the flesh. They abstain because they love both God and their neighbor. Christians certainly are tempted to sin. Boy, are we ever. And they do fall into sin. Boy, do we ever. But they've also crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So, why then do Christians struggle so hard and so much to keep the commandments? St. Paul even says, "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So why is it so hard to keep those seemingly simple commandments? It's because of the works of the flesh. It's the sin that lives on in your sinful flesh even after holy baptism. So although Ryder and Alice were both born from above in holy baptism just moments ago, saints of God, even now, their old Adams are clawing their way back out of their watery grave, ready to pounce on the first opportunity to sin that they can. And so it is with your old Adam. Your old Adam, that sin within you, is listening to the seductive call of Satan. Listening to that over the much less dramatic proclamation of God's saving word. It's easier to give in to the temptations of the devil than it is to turn away from him and look to Christ. But, St. Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Christ Jesus kept God's law perfectly for you in his life, death, and resurrection. The law still remains, yes, but not to show you the way to heaven. Instead, you use the law to show your neighbor how much you love him with the love that Christ has given first to you. And that's why St. Paul says, the whole law is fulfilled in a single word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It has absolutely nothing to do with obeying the law so that you might be saved through it, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is the gift of God. So your law-following and neighbor-loving has nothing to do with atoning for your wrongdoing and your sin. You don't make up for what you did wrong by doing something good. For Christ your Lord was sacrificed once for all when he offered himself on his cross for you and for your salvation. So now, the focus of the baptized child of God changes in Christ. So rather than fits of anger, you keep your temper in check because you love your neighbor as yourself. Rather than idolatry and envy and sensuality, you live a decent life because you don't want to scandalize your neighbor with a life that contradicts the faith once delivered to the saints. And rather than abusing God's gifts through gluttony and drunkenness, you show your neighbor how every good gift, even food and drink, comes from God. So the life of the Christian is now marked by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Not because those things are obligations, but because the blood of the risen Christ covers you. You, like St. Paul, have been given eternal life through Christ. And by that same Jesus, you confess, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is no longer I who obey, but Christ who obeys in me. Christ using you as his instrument to reconcile the world to himself. So St. Paul's critics were both right and wrong. They were right in thinking that his is a dangerous gospel. But they were wrong in thinking that gospel gives you a license to sin. St. Paul's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is dangerous, not because it invites depravity, but because it works radical changes within you and within all who believe. St. Paul's gospel is dangerous because it inhabits you, it takes you over, it occupies every fiber of your existence. It's dangerous because you trust its promises. It requires nothing of you. Nothing at all. Yet, by requiring nothing of you, it will faithfully produce the fruit of the Spirit within you. And against such things, there is no law. So therefore, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.